This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
I'm not allowed to control my own Twitter because people worry that I could have a couple of Maker's Mark at night and tweet inappropriately.
Well, John Morgan took to Twitter to announce he is leaving the Democratic Party and might run for governor as an independent.
Maybe I will. I see no advantage to me announcing today.
Net neutrality, be on alert. In addition to the FCC's plan to repeal net neutrality, the commission is also planning to block states from creating their own set of guidelines. Florida's First Amendment Foundation weighs in on fake news and the dangers of paywalls set by news outlets.
You're right, those paywalls are really a problem. For anybody who's truly interested in keeping an eye on what's going on around the state.
And coming off the Thanksgiving holiday feast, here is some food for thought.
People are actually getting sicker in hospitals. Tax dollars and health insurance premiums are increasing. This all is a result of the misuse of antibiotics in agriculture. It'll hit your pocketbook and it will hit your loved ones. And that's why everyone ought to care.
All that and more coming up on episode 129 of The Rotunda. Welcome to the program. Democratic fundraiser and prominent trial lawyer John Morgan was quick to jumpstart Florida's political news cycle after the Thanksgiving holiday.
I'm not allowed to control my own Twitter because people worry that I could have a couple of Maker's Mark at night and tweet inappropriately. So I send my tweets out. I think it's better that way.
Well, we're not sure if Morgan was drunk with holiday cheer or too many libations, but he broke some news via Twitter. He announced he's leaving the Democratic Party. Yes, the prominent Democratic fundraiser announced via Twitter that he is no longer staying in with the D's. Here's what he had to say. Quote, spent all of Thanksgiving with my whole family. While it's amazing to be leading the polls for governor without being a candidate, I can't muster the enthusiasm to run for the nomination. And I can't muster enthusiasm for any of today's politicians. He goes on to say, they are all the same, both parties. I plan to register as an independent. And when I vote, comma, vote for the lesser of two evils. And if I ever ran, comma, run as an independent, end quote. So he's saying there that he plans to run as an independent if he does. He didn't completely close the door on running for governor.
I see no advantage to me announcing today or any time close to today. All the people that have announced are doing things that I would hate to be doing, which would be having coffee clutches and bullshitting people and telling everybody what they want to hear no matter what the position is in the clutch and raising money.
That's John Morgan back in July. We were outside of the Leon County Courthouse at the time when he was planning to sue the state over medical marijuana and their failure to properly implement the law. We talked about all the speculation that he might run for governor.
I have an advantage, which I have, you know, name ID for better or for worse in Florida. I have an advantage where I can fund a lot of my stuff, so I don't have the need to do it now. I own racehorses, and when I go to the races, you usually have to bet on the race before the race starts, but I'm gonna have the advantage of getting let the race take off, come all the way around, and I don't have to make a decision until the horses are all coming down the stretch. Wouldn't you love to bet that way? If you could bet that way, you could make a lot of money. So that's how I'm thinking. That's how I'm looking at all this.
Morgan told Politico that he would still support Democratic candidates, the ones that he likes, including Senator Bill Nelson. Morgan thinks Nelson should skip re-election and run for governor.
I'm John Morgan, who I describe myself as a compassionate capitalist.
Can you make money as governor?
Can you make money as governor? I don't think you can.
The candidates so far in the race, here are the Democrats. You have former Representative Gwen Graham, Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum, Winter Park businessman Chris King, he's yet to be on this program, and former Miami Beach Mayor Philip Levine. Also, yet to be on this program. Checking out the Republicans' side, we have Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam and State Senator Jack Latvala. As you know, we've been following Senator Latvala in the news. They have already declared their candidacies. And Florida House Speaker Richard Corcoran and U.S. Representative Ron DeSantis are considering their own bids. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you the stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. Please send your generous financial contribution to rotundapodcast.com. It helps us expand our reach. This program is featured on newspaper websites across the country. And we couldn't do this without your support. Follow us on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all at Rotunda Podcast. And again, check out where you can easily hit the donate button on rotundapodcast.com. And as always, thanks for your generous support. Net neutrality. After the FCC began its bashing on net neutrality earlier this year, several cities and states began looking into ways to protect consumers on their own. Unfortunately, the FCC has decided that it won't allow that to happen. As part of its proposal to repeal net neutrality, the commission is trying to use its authority to preempt any and all state and local net neutrality regulations. So be on alert. The commission intends to block any local laws or regulations that effectively impose rules or requirements that we have repealed or decided to refrain from imposing in this order, or that would impose more stringent requirements for any aspect of broadband service that we address in this order. That was a quote, by the way. So there you have it. Net neutrality. It's not just what the commission is about to vote on to repeal next week. So if, for instance, the state of Florida decides to go and strengthen and do its own regulations to make sure that we're all on a level playing field and there's no toggling of speeds for different services, Florida couldn't because of these rules. So, more information on net neutrality. Remember, we did an episode on net neutrality, episode 114. Check it out. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. How do you get your news? It can start to get pretty costly to get yourself out of your own news bubble and diversify the way you get your information. Paywalls, whether it's $9.99, $15.99, or up in the thousands for premium news content from online publications, it's getting very expensive to keep up with some of your favorite credible news sources. How is this impacting our democracy? I posed the question to First Amendment Foundation President Barbara Peterson during our recent sit-down interview. Here's a continuation of that discussion.
In the changes of the media landscape, how have the industry adjusted now that there is a paywall and they're not being supported, these newspapers, they're not being supported by their advertising stream as they used to, but then they ask for public records, oftentimes to be open and free, but then they're sitting behind a paywall that expects the average citizens to pay to see that content that they just argued that they want to be public and free, and now it's stuck behind a paywall that they may not be able to afford. Have you seen discussions, or is there anything there to help remedy this?
Not all newspapers have a paywall. Tampa Bay Times does not. Others allow you, like the Orlando Sentinel, you get X number of free hits a month, and then you've got to start paying. It's tough because you can't subscribe to every newspaper. And for the First Amendment Foundation, where we try to be sort of the clearinghouse and let people know what's going on around the state by posting articles, we can't afford a subscription to every newspaper in the state of Florida. And so it's tough. I mean, they're not getting public records for free. They're paying the cost of production as a rule. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because the Tallahassee, the city of Tallahassee, just decided to put all of those records that were subpoenaed by the FBI online. They were asking $22,000 for the production of those records, and the mayor just said, no, let's put them online, and I think the city commission approved that at its last meeting. That's what we like to see. But so the media is not getting free access, but you're right, those paywalls are really a problem. For anybody who's truly interested in keeping an eye on what's going on around the state. You live in Orlando, you're going to get heavy concentration of Orange County and in that area of news in the Orlando Sentinel. It may never be picked up in Jacksonville or Miami. So it's a problem that we've run into because we're a small organization with limited resources, and I imagine that citizens probably get pretty frustrated too, but I haven't seen much discussion of it among the media. I think that they're struggling, many of them, to survive, and really our democracy is completely dependent on the media. I mean, it's the only profession mentioned in the Constitution. In the First Amendment, you know, a free press is critical to the way our democracy functions. And at the same time, we're seeing the media struggling financially. We're seeing, you know, fake news and people pounding on the media. So they're in a really difficult spot right now.
Before the loaded term of fake news became so popular, what advice would you give to someone who is trying to figure out, like, you know, with the new pop-ups of everyone being their own media? They're doing their own little thing, their blogs, they become popular and it's noted and people follow them, and then they have a major following and they present themselves as a news entity. And we've seen that happen throughout Florida and throughout the country.
Throughout the country. It's interesting because journalists, they have a very high ethical standard. If you take, for example, the Roy Moore story that the Washington Post just broke, I mean, that's a highly, you know, hot story, a lot of controversy surrounding it. I read the article when it first came out, and they were very careful to tell the reader how they sourced that story. We've got this source, we've got this source. It was confirmed by that source and then confirmed again by a third source. So that's what I would say to people is don't take everything at face value. Try to figure out if it was sourced, who the sources were. Were those sources credible?
That's Barbara Peterson with the First Amendment Foundation. So let's venture out of the Sunshine State for a bit and see what other states are up to. Something that I have been working on, another story in the Washington area. Starting in January, Maryland becomes the second state in the nation to restrict the routine use of antibiotics in animals. The state's new Keep Antibiotics Effective Act will prohibit large farms from feeding cattle, hogs, and poultry antibiotics at low doses when they aren't sick to promote growth. It's a response to public health concerns that overusing antibiotics both in agriculture and healthcare contributes to the rising threat of antibiotic resistance. Maryland State Veterinarian Michael Redabaugh points out that very few antibiotics are used in both humans and animals to treat bacterial infections.
Of all the antibiotics that are used in people, a very small amount of those are also used in animals. You can't really compare apples to apples on this. The humans are using different antibiotics.
Critics of the new state law have said it's a good start, but a loophole undercuts the overall goal by not requiring confirmation of diseases in a flock or herd before using antibiotics. The law doesn't apply to small farm operations. California is the only other state to restrict the routine use of antibiotics in animals. Professor Ellen Silbergild with the Johns Hopkins University Bloomberg School of Public Health also worked on the World Health Organization's strongly worded recommendation against using antibiotics in healthy animals.
And one of the first things we said was, no, no giving drugs to animals unless you know what disease you're afraid of, you're concerned about, it is actually present in the herd of the flock, and you know what drug to use.
Maryland state officials say the new law will do just that, as it prevents the use of medically important antibiotics and requires a veterinarian's permission to use antibiotics, including recommended dosage for targeted treatment. Healthcare policy expert Jordan Cooper, who also hosts the Public Interest Podcasts, says he remains concerned about widespread antibiotic resistance on a global scale.
People are actually getting sicker in hospitals. Tax dollars and health insurance premiums are increasing. This all is a result of the misuse of antibiotics in agriculture. It'll hit your pocketbook and it will hit your loved ones. And that's why everyone ought to care.
Cooper also suggests that people ask their doctor if an antibiotic prescription is absolutely necessary before taking it. According to the World Health Organization, consumers are also driving the demand for meat raised without antibiotics, with more major food chains adopting antibiotic-free policies for their meat supplies. So we have California, Maryland, and no word yet or no legislation on the horizon regarding this issue in Florida. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to all of our guests this week, including Jordan Cooper, host of the Public Interest Podcast, Professor Ellen Silbergeld with the Johns Hopkins University Bloomberg School of Public Health, and Maryland State Veterinarian Michael Radebaugh. Also, Florida's First Amendment Foundation, Barbara Peterson, and it's always an entertaining interview with John Morgan. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can make a contribution to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. Be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.